every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101, the show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack when the Reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Wow, my voice almost gave out there. Recovery 101 doesn't speak for A-A-N-E-O-A-C-A-G-A-P-A-S-L-A-S-L-A-A-C-R-R-R-M-M-D-R-A-H-A-P-A.
Again?
F-A-I-R. Or any of them that are guys.
D-G-A.
Yeah, none of them. We don't even speak that well for ourselves. Welcome C-G-A. To Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelley.
And Mark.
So you guys don't know. Shelly just happened to walk in at the perfect time. She goes, oh, start the show, and she takes off and leaves.
My timing is perfect. It's impeccable.
That's because we stretched.
Yeah, uh-huh.
We stretched.
He said PA like seven times.
Yeah.
You guys didn't even mic test.
And no, they worked just perfectly.
We could have, though. That would have stretched it more for you. So how was your day, Shelly? I don't want to interrupt you with doing the show or anything.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to get my tea together here.
She's trying to dunk her tea bag.
So.
Today is a lot better than yesterday. Yesterday I had a massive fibromyalgia flare, and I was in an unnecessary amount of pain. And then that's the funny thing about fibro is one day you can be convinced the world is ending and you're in complete agony, and you wake up the next morning, and you're 90% better.
You're ready to run a 5K?
Well, not quite that good. I'm still achy, but it's nothing like yesterday.
I'm trying not to yawn.
And then we had a transformative church service this morning. It was awesome.
Transformative?
Well, not exactly that far, but close.
Oh. Okay. Awesome. How was your day, Mark?
My day was just fine.
Did you get a text from me the other day?
Yeah, thanks for that. I got a text from Bruce the other day. It says, hey, there's this person who needs a speaker. I'm going to speak up in Lancaster.
Which is not around the corner from
next
where we
Friday.
Were.
Are you interested? I take that to mean I am driving 2.5 hours to go speak somewhere. Do you want to take a ride with me? I said, one word answer. Sure.
I said, he says, okay.
Okay.
I'll let her know.
I'll let her know. I'm going, oh, I guess they probably want me to lead the meeting that if Bruce is speaking. The next morning, I get a phone call. Hey, Bruce gave me your number, said you'd come up to Lancaster to speak. I have all of April open. So I'm like,
Marcia,
nice.
Put me near the first.
Yeah. I'm busy that month.
Awesome.
So thanks for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. By the time this show goes up, I will have already spoke, so don't go running over to Lancaster. Now, you could probably run over to Lancaster to see Mark speak, though.
Yeah, except for I'm not announcing when that is.
They know it's in April.
So just show up every Friday night in April.
Show up every Friday night in April, you're eventually going to see Mark. Well, you know what that means.
What's that mean?
Oh, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
Okay, we didn't plan this very well.
This is just too much fun to watch.
I can't even get up until you...
I'm sitting back here observing this. See,
the problem is, in order to do the boozy news, now we have to swap places because we have never gotten the printer fixed, so I can't use my wonderful music stand.
Right.
And, oh my gosh, you've got this heater on. I'm going to die over here. Holy guacamole, it's 90 degrees. Okay. Our first story of the evening is from Phil.
Phil!
Yay, Phil.
This happened in West Virginia.
Man, mama, almost take heaven. Me home, country road.
The manager of a Pizza Hut, he's actually the regional manager. He oversaw six different Pizza Huts.
Let me ask you this before you get into the story. Is he still the regional manager?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
After closing one night, they put cameras in, various locations of Pizza Hut just to observe. And either he didn't know that there was a camera on or forgot or whatever. They caught him peeing in the sink in the kitchen at the Pizza Hut after closing.
Is that bad?
Yeah, that's kind of bad. So Pizza Hut immediately canned the guy and then had the health inspectors come out, and they shut down that location.
Remind me not to have heard of the kitchen sink pizza.
No.
And it's quite a graphic video because it's very clear. You know, usually the surveillance videos always seem kind of grainy or like out of focus. No, they got really good cameras.
Shelly?
What?
How many times did you watch the video of the guy peeing in the sink? Is there something you need to tell us?
You can't really see his, because of the angle at which he's standing.
Schwanzstücker?
But you can see the whole, you know.
You get the stream, huh?
You get the stream, you get the jiggling, you get the whole, that bit. And then what fascinates me is he turned the water on in the sink. Not to wash his hands, but to rinse the sink.
Well, that's good.
He didn't wash his hands.
Maybe he didn't pee on his hands.
Still.
At least he thought to rinse the sink.
Yeah.
What shocks me is how much attention you seem to have paid to this video.
Well, I only watched the video once, but the story was quite fascinating to me.
What's up, Connor?
Yeah. My son is standing here with the Book of Genesis in his hand, listening to his iPod.
Is that the Book of Genesis?
Yeah.
It is. Okay.
Okay,
bye. Is
it
written by Phil Collins or by someone else?
Is the editor for that particular version. Robert Atler is the editor.
Written by
of that.
God.
Nobody gets it.
No, nobody I get it. Just wasn't funny. Okay. The next story, speaking of funny, next story is also sang by Phil. I think that the reason this is happening is because people have finally come to their senses and realized that this is one of the single most creepy occupations on the planet.
Undertaker?
No. Clowns.
Yeah. There's a shortage.
There is a shortage. The roles in the World Clown Association, was it the World Clown Association, the World Clown Federation, or something like that, have dropped by 1,000 clowns in 1 year. Because they're saying, basically, they're dying off. And younger people are not getting interested in clowning. There were some quotes in the story that just absolutely cracked me up. Let's see. I'm trying to find the Kohlberger. The last name of the guy is Kohlberger. And he is the president of the New York's Clown Alley, which is a group that has 45 members in the state of New York. He said, what happens is they go on to high school and college, and clowning isn't cool anymore. Clowning is then put on the back burner until their late 40s and early 50s. I think maybe it's a little longer than that. And my favorite quote, though, is, American kids these days are thinking about different careers altogether. They're thinking about everything other than clowning.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Because clearly clowning is the most important thing there is.
Yeah. I think that young Gacy kid put a little wrench into the clowning thing.
Yeah, Gacy.
Well, there was that, and then there was the clown in Poltergeist, the Bozo doll.
Yes, the one that's underneath the bed.
Yes, there was that one, and then, then Stephen King's It, Pennywise. It.
Yes.
Nobody
there
wants
are
to be a clown anymore.
Clowns.
It's too scary.
Send in the clown.
I never saw it.
You never saw It? It.
No.
I read the book. I read it all. The book was strangely compelling in a way, but because I don't usually read horror, it freaked me out, and I'm like, I have to finish this, or I'm never going to finish it because I'm too freaked out. So I sat up all night and read the whole thing, and then I got to the end, and I was about ready to sue Stephen King for a loss of night's sleep because I'm like, that's how it ends?
If I had known that you were reading that, I would have gone and put on some makeup.
I was in college at the time.
I would have found you.
Well, all right then. I doubt it. Okay, our next story is from Bill.
Yay. Recovery 101, sponsored in part by Bill Piper.
This takes place in Tampa,
Florida.
Thank you. James Yugo, 52 years old.
How about his car?
Does he make cars?
No, it's Yugo, J-U-G-O. So that could be Jugo, but I'm thinking Yugo.
It's a soft J.
Yes, it's a soft
jogging.
J. Well, he has a soft J for a rather prickly man. He has been arrested and charged with manslaughter after he beat his roommate to death.
Why?
Beat him to death mostly with his own fists.
Why?
That's how hard he hit the guy. They had a disagreement about a chicken foot.
Wait a minute.
Is there more information here?
Yeah. He was cooking dinner with some stolen food. He stole this food. And he had the food in the skillet. Calderon, his roommate, was cooking the stolen food, not James Yugo.
Okay.
Yugo took a chicken foot out of the skillet. Calderon got mad at him, so Yugo turned around and started wailing on him because he wanted the chicken foot. And Calderon wanted to finish cooking it.
Oh.
I thought they were going to be having an argument over who was in the band Chicken Foot.
No. It was an actual chicken foot that for some reason he was going to eat. Yugo has also already been arrested 19 times in Florida. Charges including burglary, cocaine possession, petty theft, probation violation, open container, and possessing a dangerous dog.
This is going to be one of the last times he gets arrested.
Yeah, pretty much. Let's see. We have another one for Bill. From Bill, and this takes place in Redding, California. And Bill's, what do you want to call it? You know, the subject line in your email when he sent this to me said a little bit of overkill.
Oh.
In Redding, California, they evacuated the entire area.
I have relatives that live there.
For 3 days.
Yeah.
Because they've discovered a mobile home that contained more than 60 pounds of volatile explosive material.
Oh, a meth lab.
No, it wasn't. There were chemicals, gunpowder, primers for firearms, and actual explosives. That was the material.
Whoops.
He said that he was making fuel for model rockets.
Okay.
Whether he was or he wasn't.
Let's use that.
They only discovered it because he accidentally set off a small explosion. Blew off his one of his hands and an eyeball.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah, and ended up in the hospital.
She just blew off a hand, and Mark's like, eh. Then she says an eyeball, and then Mark's like, ooh. I'm like, what about the hand? He's like, the hand ain't that bad.
Anytime somebody blows something up, the sheriffs are going to investigate, and when they discover the mobile home, they immediately backed out of it, evacuated the entire area, and said, this isn't even stable enough for us to try to defuse it.
For 3 days?
For 3 days. Because they had to set up a cordon. They had to make sure that if they blew up this meth lab, you got me saying it. If they blew up the mobile home, it wouldn't incinerate the entire forest. They had to, there were security measures that had to be put in place. And they did manage to burn down the mobile home and explode all the explosives without setting off a national forest fire.
So they burned down the motorhome?
Yes.
To get rid of the explosives?
Yes.
Burning down the house.
No visible means of support.
Okay. Now let's see. Oh!
Oh!
Speaking of things blowing up, I found this story.
Our numbers?
Well, we hope
so. For show rating?
I found this story as a link on the story about the mobile home blowing up.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
The title of the link kind of made me giggle, but then I read the story and I went, oh, ow.
What happened?
This happened in Barcelona, Spain.
Barcelona.
The woman's name is not listed in the story, but a woman going to a trendy nightclub called the Gothic Quarter is now having skin grafts on most of the backs of her legs because she was burned by an exploding toilet.
What?
Now, what happened was that the bathroom in this particular nightclub was not up to code, and there was no ventilation. It was an extremely popular nightclub, And there was a lot of methane gas built up
in. Oh, my God.
And then the woman sat on the Poe and somebody flipped the light switch off and on, not realizing what they were doing. And they think an electrical spark from the also undercoat wiring triggered an explosion. And the compressed gas from when she sat on the toilet went boom.
Nice.
Is what they think happened.
Just the backs of her legs?
That's what it says. She's badly. She has to have skin grafts. That's pretty bad.
That's not good.
No, but how'd you like to go out for a night on the town? You're all gussied up, out with your girlfriends, looking for some honeys, and boom, you get your ass blown off by a toilet. That's really not a good way to end the evening.
Yeah, because there's methane gas in the air. The bathroom smells so much like shit.
Yeah.
That it blows the back of your legs off.
What I'm wondering is, how could you possibly stand to go in the bathroom if there was that much fart gas in there?
I think there's more to the story.
All right. Well, anyway.
You need a lot of methane in the air to spark something like that.
Okay, we're kind of over time, but I'll do one more update from Bill. Remember when we... It's an update. About a year ago, we did the story on... L.A. County passing the law that all porn performers had to wear condoms.
Right.
Right. Well, the update is that exactly what the porn industry said would happen happened. 95% of the production for porn films has moved out of state.
Of course.
The only
one more time, the government shuts down a bunch of California business.
Yeah. The only company that's left, actually, is
Vivid?
Falcon Studios. And they are using CGI. They go ahead and the performers use the condoms, and they're using CGI to paint skin over the condoms in the film.
Okay.
So they say.
That's what they say. So, but I just thought that was
That's what I'd say if I was them. Yeah, we're putting CGI skin over it. Look, you can't even tell, can you? That's how good we are.
Well, they're the Lone Rangers, the only ones left. Everybody else has gone to Arizona.
For those of you who don't know, that's a computer-generated image.
Yes.
CGI.
People know that, don't they?
Yeah, you know what? I wouldn't bet on it.
You know what? They all know it now.
Yeah, it's film magic.
That's right.
Okay, and that, my excellent friends, is the end of the Boozy News.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Hi, Shelley.
Hey.
Hey. So, Shelley, what's the topic?
I don't remember exactly what the topic is, but it was generated by me whipping out a bag of drugs.
It was.
Wow.
Shelley went into her stash of dope.
This is a plastic baggie with ibuprofen in it, with Advil.
That's what you claim.
Bruce made a comment about making people go out. About somebody posted a picture of some drug on a site and...
Oh, yeah.
Man made half the site go out, and I asked the question, can you really make somebody else go out?
Yes. Can you?
No.
It was lead-out music.
Well, the thing is, could you contribute to someone going out? Possibly, but the bottom line is their decision whether they want to do it or not. I've never been forced. You know, I've never once been, like, tied to a chair and had someone force-feed me booze.
Why doesn't that ever happen to me?
You want to get tied to a chair?
No. I'm kidding.
Well, I bow chicken bow.
Never had a syringe.
Never
had a syringe fall out of the sky?
No. Yeah.
And hit you in a vein?
Yeah. Yeah, slip. Makes it sound like an accident. I could see where I had a guy one time. I used to tell a story about a time I overdosed, and I was fairly descriptive in the way I told the story. And a guy walked up to me after the meeting and said, "You cannot share that story like that again." And I said, "Why?" And he's like, "Dude," he's like, I was ready to go, man. He goes, the way you described it, I felt exactly, you know, what you would feel, and it made me want to go. Shelly has discovered the double triple trouble Oreos.
They're very weird. I'm not sure I want it.
Why? They're just three layers.
But there's a cookie layer in the middle.
It's like a Big Mac.
I know, but that's
it's like
not...
It's like a club sandwich for cookies.
That's know, right.
But that's not a double stuff Oreo.
No,
there's
it's not.
Double
it's triple
stuff
double.
In there.
But it's...
It's a triple three. Double.
See, okay. You can't have... You can have a double stuff cookie.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And you can have a single stuff cookie.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But you can't have a double stuff cookie with three... cookie layers, because that throws off the equilibrium of the filling versus the cookie.
It's a triple double.
No.
Yes, because now there is not enough cookie. Because look, if you had two...
How can there not be enough cookie? There's three pieces
of
cookie.
No, there's not enough filling for the cookie. A double stuff is fine. You still only have two cookies to get through.
This has two double stuffs.
No, it's not two
cookies.
Double stuffs. It's two single stuffs and three layers of cookie. So now you are short a layer of stuff for your cookie.
Wouldn't those be great dunked in fudge?
Yes,
oh, no,
they're
good dunked in milk, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
So, Shelly, back to the topic.
Sorry.
Your turn.
What was the question?
How do you feel about that topic? Same question it always is when we start talking about
can
topic.
Can you really make somebody go out? No. Ostensibly, the you know, like you said, the short answer is no. If your grasp on the principles of the programs and your use of the tools is, if your spiritual foundation is weak, anything anybody says or does will send somebody off to law. But it's not the person saying or doing anything. It's the person who goes out that's their responsibility. And, you know, people go through the worst circumstances in the program and manage to stay sober.
True.
So... You know, somebody hurting your little feelings in a meeting for some whatever reason it was is, you know, that's not a reason. There's no reason to go out. They're only excuses.
Ooh.
Once again,
that would be a good final
right
words.
In the middle.
So what do you think, Mark?
I hear a lot of people who get loaded and come back, and they come back with all the excuses and reasons for why they went out. And I just, it's hard to validate any of the excuses.
Yeah, you know? I mean, is any excuse really a good enough excuse?
Yeah. When I came in, you know, my sponsor told me, he says, look, if you want to get loaded, there's nothing on this planet that can keep you sober. And if you want to stay sober, there's nothing on this planet that can get you loaded.
That would be good final words, too.
Yeah, that's right. I got other ones. I figured these words might spur discussion.
Hmm. Yes.
So, you know, I've got a roommate who recently relapsed right after he'd got a year.
Yeah.
And intimated that the fact that, you know, there is wine around my house and that there were triggers around the house, and he didn't think it was fair that where he lived should have triggers there for him.
So why does he live there?
And that's what I said. It's funny that
I don't want to break it down to like small, easy to digest pieces, but yeah. If you're yeah. uncomfortable living yeah. somewhere, then move somewhere else.
Well, because my question is, if it's such a trigger, try to figure out why it's not bothering, I don't know, me?
You. Yeah.
Because wouldn't a trigger bother anybody who had a problem?
It doesn't bother me. I'm sure there's people that would, but it's not, I'm not one of them.
Yeah, they probably shouldn't be around it.
I think the people, the whole concept of a trigger is kind of false in a certain way because the psychiatric community says, well, these things are a certain person's trigger for X, you know. Once you've gotten to a certain point, there shouldn't be a trigger. Because if there is anything that will send you out, then your spiritual foundation is weak. Or your whatever your program, your use of the tools, your ability to dial a phone number, whatever, is not working properly. And to say that, well, I went out because that triggered me. No, not really. Because I think the whole concept of a trigger is, it's like the last time, and now I haven't tried to quit smoking in a while, but the last time I actually quit smoking for a while, they said there were two schools of thought. One was change everything, remove all your triggers, don't do anything the same way you did. The other school of thought was live your life. You're just a non-smoker now. Mm-hmm. And I did better with the live your life and not recognizing the fact that I had triggers. I did the things, pretty much the only thing I substituted was I started eating salted pretzels with my morning coffee. I don't know why it worked.
You live on the edge.
I know. It worked. I don't know why. It just worked. But some people do. It's your choice whether or not you want to respond to your trigger. You don't have to.
Friday, Debbie baked cookies.
Yeah.
For a meeting. We ended up not going to the meeting.
Yeah.
I went to the store that day and I had bought a fresh gallon of milk.
Uh-oh.
I'm trying to lose some weight.
Right.
I don't consider the milk and the cookies to be a trigger. I consider the fact that I wanted to eat them. That'd be the problem.
Yes.
True.
The fact that I poured a glass of milk and picked up the entire cookie jar and carried it into the TV room.
Is this like one of those things like, you know, do guns kill people, no people kill people? It's like, you know.
Yeah.
I always love those kind of things. People. Yeah. It's not the drugs. It's not the drugs' fault. It's the fact that I'm going to take them that makes it the problem.
Yeah. It's like, oh, look, fresh baked cookies, brand new milk, Olympics, and home for the evening.
You actually watch the Olympics?
Yeah.
I haven't watched the Olympics in years.
Yeah, but it's our
national pride.
Patriotic people.
Baby.
Patriotic people? No, they're athletes.
Okay.
I mean, they may be patriotic, but they're athletes. They're not our only patriotic people.
Athletes aren't people, too?
But they're not our only patriotic people. You make it sound like this is the group that we send out into the world. Our patriotic people.
Yes, this is the group we send out in the world to compete.
Okay, never mind. Moving on.
In a sports level.
You didn't watch the Olympics either.
I didn't say I did.
Oh.
I did.
Mark did. I've seen a couple events, but only because I watched them on YouTube.
Yep.
I was interested, actually, in seeing the way snowboarding was going to be because, you know, 10 years ago, snowboarding wasn't even an event.
Yep.
I'm wondering when skateboarding will be in the Summer Olympics. Or any
Not
of the extreme type stuff.
Not for a bit.
You don't think so?
No, there's
skateboarding has been around a lot longer than snowboarding
has. They got rid of a couple of summer events that they really need to bring back.
Like what?
They did away with women's softball.
They got rid of women's softball?
Uh-huh.
Why?
Because the United States women's softball team won by an average of like 16 runs a game for like three straight Olympics. So they said, there's not enough competition out there yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but still.
They did away with baseball.
They're getting rid of what?
Baseball.
They got rid of baseball.
I can see the baseball, softball things going bye-bye because that's mostly an American sport.
In 4 years, they're talking about doing away with wrestling.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Whoa.
Let's go back to Athens, Greece when the Olympics
wrestling
started.
Wrestling was like
that's true.
Original sport.
No, that's true.
And they've been doing it ever since. And now they're talking about getting rid of it?
Yeah.
The hell?
There's a lot of
uproar. Where will we get all our MMA guys from?
There's a lot of uproar.
By the way.
What?
Not this has anything to do with topic. Anything we're talking about now. Ronda Rousey fought that other girl. Both undefeated.
Both medalists.
both Olympic medalists. Took her out in the first round.
I heard it was an early stoppage.
Huh?
I heard the referee stopped it early.
Mike said it was brutal. So it was like a kick to the chest or something. Said this girl was clearly having problems breathing.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
So.
We've kind of meandered around this topic a bit.
Yeah, really.
Well, the bottom line is, can someone make you get loaded? Unless they tie you to a chair and pour it in your mouth. I don't believe they can. You know, that's my personal opinion on it, but I don't think that someone can make me get loaded. Is there someone that could set up criteria that might make it more difficult for me to stay sober? Yeah. You know, if I go over to my friend's house and suddenly there's, you know, Freebase laying all over the table and there's pipes and there's lighters, that's going to be more challenging than if you go over there and there's a big book on the table.
I doubt it.
Why? Why would that be more challenging?
To a newcomer?
You've walked into crack houses
before. To a newcomer?
Oh, to a newcomer, maybe.
Well, yeah, I mean.
What the hell is a newcomer doing there?
That's true. What is he doing there, Bruce?
At his friend's house?
But he knows his friend is using.
No. That's not what I said. I didn't say he knew his friend was using at all. I said, if I go to my friend's house and there's Freebase out on the table.
Uh-huh.
That's more dangerous than if I go there and there's a big book on the table.
Why?
I'm not to a newcomer.
But you just said you were going to your friend's house. You're not a newcomer.
Let me help the newcomer out right now.
If
you walk into a friend's house and there's a big book on the table, you're probably okay to stay. If you walk in there and there's a crack pipe and a bunch of dope on the table, you should probably leave. Thank you.
And the question would be, then, why?
My question is, why are you going to your friend's house if there's a bunch of Freebase on the table?
What friends do you have that have the social smoke
Freebase?
Yeah,
who is this guy?
Bruce, where do they live?
First of all, I said if.
Oh, so you haven't gone there yet.
So the original premise is flawed, so everything you say after that is not going to work.
So your argument is flawed, is what you're saying.
I'm saying your argument is flawed because I said if I went to someone's house and if there was
then you should
Freebase
leave.
On the table. And you said, oh, you should be able to go to... I said if. So it's a subjective thing from the beginning.
If you walked into someone's house and if there was a bunch of Freebase and pipes on the table, what might you do? And you're a newcomer, what might you do?
You might get loaded.
Or else what else might you
do? Or you might turn around and leave.
Ding, ding, ding.
Right. But what I'm saying is it's more dangerous. I'm not saying they can make you get loaded. I'm saying it's more dangerous. And I refer back to, there was a guy that told me merely on what I said in a meeting had him almost ready to go. He's like, you can't share like that again. It was too descriptive.
That brings up another point, though. Do we have a responsibility in meetings? And I firmly believe we do. To be careful when we're sharing so that we don't send a bunch of people with less than 30 days all twitchiness all over the place.
All right. Let me throw in devil's advocate here, Shelley.
Go ahead.
Moments ago, it was, well, you could be in a – why would you feel like getting loaded? You're in a room where there's a bunch of cocaine. You can just leave. And now you're like, well, you can't even talk about it.
No.
You should be okay.
I'm asking the question.
You
do
should
we have a
be okay if there's cocaine out on the table.
She was asking a probing question to transform the topic.
Yes. And my probing question before was, I said, if something was like that in the house, you said, oh, you should be able to be okay. You should be able to be okay, but don't share about it in a meeting because that would be too dangerous.
I didn't say don't. I said, do we have a responsibility?
And you said, I believe we do. You said, I believe we have a responsibility to stop people from doing that.
I don't particularly care for it when people romance the drug or the drink in a meeting.
You don't care for it? That's a mild way to put it.
But you don't think it would be that harmful if it was out on the table? Would you get loaded just because it's out on the table?
It's harmful in the middle of the meeting because that's not the focus of recovery. And we're there for recovery, not to listen to your war story and talking about various implements and ways of using them.
I was in a meeting one time with Shelley and somebody was romancing the drug. And Shelley jumped in front of somebody who was about to share and had a raging nana.
Oh, that was you that I jumped in front of. Oh, you should see me in meetings now. It's like... somebody will start to just barely romance it, and I'll let them, I'll give them a little rope to hang themselves with. But if they don't turn it around, I will I will say something right after. And I Bruce will look at me when somebody starts romance. He'll look at me
he'll
like.
Start the romance. You'll let him get to second base?
Yeah.
Well, because I got to look.
And start the countdown.
I
got to
look
explode.
Because sometimes, like, we know this guy named Greg. Greg's got some time. And Greg was sharing about something. This is not the Greg you're thinking of. It's a different Greg. But this guy's sharing something. And I already knew, because I've heard this guy speak lots of times. I'm like, I already know he's going to rein it right back in around it. Shelly's, you see, Shelly's getting ready. She's ready. She's ready. She's ready. She's ready. And then I'm like, see? He turned it around.
You're like, oh. Yeah, but Bruce looks at me, and he immediately starts the raving Nana countdown. She's going to explode in 5, 4, 3, 2,
and go.
Well, I have a lot of experience.
We exploding, or?
Yeah. Usually it's here at the house, but I'll be like, let's see. Here she comes. 5, 4, 3, 2. Bruce, what are you doing here? What did you do?
When was the last time I said that?
35 minutes ago?
No.
So what are your final words, Johnny?
My final words are thanks for telling, you know, all 6 of our listeners what a shrew your wife is. I don't know. What was the topic?
Over the edge.
Can you make someone get loaded?
You can't push somebody over the cliff unless they're standing on the edge. Don't stand on the edge in recovery.
Okay.
That was good.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
That was really good.
I was, and I was thinking you still can't push someone over the edge, but okay. Go ahead, Mark.
Yes, you can. If they're peering over the edge and not paying attention. One good nudge can send them flying.
Yeah, you still can't make them get loaded, though. They could be peering over the edge and looking, but to push them over would be like going up and injecting them with cocaine. Then, yes, you
I can make people get loaded. I'm that powerful.
Can you?
Yeah. Pretty sure.
You can't make me get loaded.
Well, no, you have time. See, Shelly, that's what you do with that extra piece.
Uh-huh.
Shelly's wondering what you do with that extra piece of Oreo cookie. She just dropped it on the ground. That's what you do with it. See? Now you dropped a piece on the ground and you still have an entire cookie left.
My final words would be that I cannot make someone get loaded. I can contribute to the scenario that might make them choose to do it themselves, but I can't make them. Shelly, who's our friend back east?
That would be Bruce, the other white meat. Oh, wait, you were supposed to say that part. Never mind.
The other white meat.
Yeah. He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe, and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town.
Awesome. Mark, we have people who listen to the show.
And we really appreciate you listening. Thank you very much.
We do.
And we ask if you don't go to our site yet, that you go to recovery101.net and click on a show. From there, if you're not yet a member of Podomatic, you'll be asked to join. please join us for fun.
And for free.
And from there, you can then go and comment, leave topic suggestions, follow the show, add us to playlists, and do all that stuff that we ask you to do to contribute to participating in our numbers. Thank you.
It's hella fun. And if you are Facebook friendly, you can go and like and follow the Recovery 101 radio show page. If you'd like to be a little more incognito online, you can join the Recovery 101 group. Things posted on there, you'll be able to see them and your family and friends won't. We've got an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can join the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101. Rule 62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Shelly! Who's the lead out music by?
Sean Van Domlin.
Everybody try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
Take care of you.
Yeah, you know you did right from